Hey, thanks for inviting me into your home. I'm Richard Serrett, your humble chat show host, and this is Coast to Coast AM, broadcasting live from Coast's Toronto affiliate, Talk Radio AM 640. You know, I've been meaning to send off a memo to the bigwigs, the brain trust, if you will, at Coast. Since the program is heard across this great land of Canada and the United States, and here in Canada, way to the north, we have the Arctic Ocean on our northern border. So maybe, stay with me now, maybe it's time to consider renaming the show Coast to Coast to Coast. Put that on a t-shirt or a bumper sticker. Coast Three Coast. Okay, maybe not. Listen, I went back and forth on whether I was going to mention this next item. But finally, I decided, how could I not? Now, just humor me for a moment, because this is going somewhere, and where it's going is Planet Bizarro. Something very strange happened to me while I was enjoying a coffee and a dessert and watching my Toronto Maple Leafs go down in flames to the Buffalo Sabres at a restaurant just around the corner. A friend of mine is a remote viewer and a medical intuitive. They call him Canada's Edgar Cayce and the man with X-ray eyes. And before the show, he texted me. Now, a little backstory. Tomorrow morning, or later this morning, Eastern Standard Time, I'm hosting a conference in Oshawa. It's about an hour east of where I'm sitting. It's called Follow the Truth. Anyway, my remote viewer friend is attending my conference, so he drove out there tonight, checked into the hotel where all my guests are staying, which is across the street from this beautiful old vaudeville theater where we're holding the event. Now, I'm supposed to also be checking into that hotel, but he assumed I'd already checked in. He forgot I was hosting Coast to Coast here in Toronto. So he's there in Oshawa at the hotel, the La Quinta Inn, and he's looking around for me. And he asks not one, but two of the hotel clerks. He asks, has Richard Serrett checked in? Have they seen me? Now, in the lobby at the La Quinta, they've got a poster for the Follow the Truth event, and my picture's on it. Now, both hotel clerks say yes. They saw me in the lobby earlier tonight. I mean, they swore up and down. Someone who, I guess, matched the picture on my poster was seen wandering around in the hotel lobby, which is why my friend assumed I was there. So he texts me, Richard, where are you? Do you want to have dinner? I know you're at the hotel. So I replied, no. I'm still in Toronto, and I'm about to go on the air to do Coast to Coast. I won't be in Oshawa until Sunday morning. But they saw you. Two people. Two people saw you, he insists. Now, this is a true story. He told me this, and he's my friend, and I believe him. And now I'm getting that kind of unsettled feeling. So then my remote viewer friend drops this on me in the text. He says, Richard, you just managed to bilocate. Bilocation. I do a quick Wikipedia check. The psychic or miraculous ability wherein an individual or object is located or appears to be located in two distinct places at the same time. I thought only the Shaolin monks could do that. Now here's the kicker. This is the second time in a week this has happened. I was at George Norrie's event last week at the Queen Elizabeth Theater just down the road from here in Toronto. And this guy, Bill, comes up to me, swears up and down, despite my repeated protests to the contrary, that I was at George Norrie's event last year. He saw me there. He says I stood up and I asked a question. And I said, no, I'm sorry, I wasn't there. But he said he saw me there. So anyway, either I'm bilocating, or I have a doppelganger. I have a twin, someone who looks and sounds and dresses and acts just like me, running around in Oshawa. Poor sod. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. Either way, my reality has been shaken, perhaps irrevocably. And maybe, I don't know, that just goes with the territory. Eventually, you host Coast to Coast a few times, and strange things start to happen. That is a true story. My hand to God. We've got a great show for you tonight. It checks all the boxes. Controversy, information that flies in the face of conventional wisdom, My guest in the first hour is going to force many of us to rethink a lot of what we think we know about health and medicine and what's healthy and what's not. And that can be scary, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. We're also going to take you on a ride. We're going to talk about advanced propulsion systems, free energy, time travel, the Mars Project, alternative advanced agricultural practices, and what it's like to drop acid with Timothy Leary, with a former U.S. Navy SEAL, a genuine Renaissance man. And I know that term gets used a lot, but if ever there was someone who fit the description, it's Dr. Richard Allen Miller, who joins us in hours 2, 3, and 4. But first, hour one, how many of you are on some kind of medication to lower your cholesterol, or you have a loved one that's on some kind of medication to lower their cholesterol? Everybody, I mean everybody, is touched by heart disease. It's the number one killer. And we recite it like a mantra that heart disease is, by and large, caused by too much cholesterol, animal fat. About 600,000 people die of heart disease in the United States alone every year. That's one in every four deaths. Heart disease is the leading cause of death for both men and women, and more than half of the deaths due to heart disease in 2009 were in men. Every year, about 720,000 Americans have a heart attack, and many Americans take statins. These drugs designed to lower cholesterol levels in the blood. Half of men, get this, half of men aged 65 to 74, half of men ages 65 to 74, and 39% of women ages 75 and older take statin. That's pretty stunning. But my guest in hour one, a retired physician, a nephrologist, says not only is cholesterol not the culprit behind cardiovascular disease and heart attacks, cholesterol is good for us. He says there's no such thing as bad cholesterol. Dr. Ofa Raunscu argues that mainstream scientists have turned white into black by ignoring all conflicting observations, by twisting and exaggerating trivial findings, by citing studies with opposing results in a way to make them look supportive, and by ignoring or scorning the work of critical scientists. Next up, the cholesterol myth. I'm Richard Serrett, and apparently I can be in two places at the same time. This is Coast to Coast AM. Ofa Raunscu, MD, PhD, is the author of Ignore the Awkward, How the Cholesterol Myths Are Kept Alive. Dr. Raunscu graduated from the University of Copenhagen with an MD. He went on to become an assistant professor of independent research, as well as director of THINCS, the International Network of Cholesterol Skeptics. He published books including Ignore the Awkward, How the Cholesterol Myths Are Kept Alive, and Fat and Cholesterol Are Good for You. He's also a member of the editorial board of Journal of Lipids and a member of International Science Oversight Board. He's making the controversial claims that cholesterol and fat are not the culprits behind heart disease, and he argues that mainstream scientists, again, have turned black into white by ignoring all conflicting observations, by twisting and exaggerating trivial findings, citing citing studies with opposing results in a way to make them look supportive, and by ignoring or scorning the work of critical scientists. Dr. Raunscu, welcome to Coast AM. How are you?
I'm fine.
And I understand it's very early in Sweden where we've reached you, so thank you for either waking up early or staying up late, whatever the case may be. How did we get this so wrong? We recite this as a mantra, Dr. Raunscu. Cholesterol bad. Cholesterol bad. Animal fat bad.
It's a long story. But, the idea that high cholesterol is dangerous started in Framingham, outside Boston, in the 60s. Well, what they did was they followed 5,000 healthy people for 6 or 7 years. And after that, they saw that those who had got a heart attack during that time, their cholesterol was a little higher at the start. But that does mean that the cholesterol is causing a heart disease, of course. And when they had followed them for 30 years, they found that those whose cholesterol were down, among those whose cholesterol was down, there were many more who had died from heart attacks than among those whose cholesterol has went upwards.
So let me just stop you there. If we could repeat that. Could I get you to repeat that? Because that's important. Can you just repeat that last bit? I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's really important, what that study says.
At the 30-year examination of these 5,000 people in Framingham, they observed that those who had died, they have more often, their cholesterol had went downwards, not upwards. Those whose cholesterol went downwards, there were many more who had died during these 30 years.
So people with normal cholesterol or low cholesterol are dropping dead of a heart attack in greater numbers than those with elevated cholesterol levels.
Yes.
But that's just one study, isn't it? Couldn't people say that's just one study? That's an aberration.
Yeah, well, you're right, but there are many other studies pointing in the same direction. I can mention that there are more than 20 studies having shown that old people with high cholesterol, they live the longest. I have not yet found any study showing the opposite. Old people with high cholesterol live the longest. And with old people, I mean people about 50. There is no study having found that high cholesterol was a risk factor for women. There's no trial that has succeeded in prolonging the life for women. There's no trial that has succeeded in prolonging the life of healthy people whose only fault, we'll say, is high cholesterol. No.
I'm gobsmacked. There's not one single study. I mean, you've searched high and low. No stone left unturned. Not a single study.
I have studied the literature for more than 25 years systematically, and I wish that more research had done that. We are about 100 researchers in my association, the International Network of Cholesterol Skeptics. We are about 100 researchers who agree with me about this. They have followed the literature just as intensely as I have.
If what you're saying is true, I mean, this is a huge scandal.
It's the greatest scandal, medical scandal in modern time, I used to say. The problem with the cholesterol campaign is that instead of saving lives of many people, it has made millions of people to patients. First, because of the dietary advices, they said already in the 70s that you should eat more carbohydrates and less fat. And people have followed these advices for many years.
Right, lay off the eggs, lay off the butter.
Excuse me?
Yes, lay off the eggs, lay off the butter.
Oh, yes. No eggs, no butter. Eat margarinas instead, eat vegetable oils. And eat all the sugar and carbohydrates you wish to eat. And what's the result? We have got an epidemic of obese people. We have got an epidemic of type 2 diabetes. And it started a few years after these dietary recommendations were published. The other scandal is the adverse effects of the statin treatment. Statin treatment is able to lower mortality, but only in people who already have had a heart attack. And it lowers very, very little. If you take a statin sample, if you are 65 years and have had a heart attack, your chance to survive the next 5 years is about 80%. You can increase that chance to 82% if you take a statin tablet every day, but then you must be you should be prepared for many, many side effects, and they are serious. First of all, the most common side effect is muscle weakness, muscle pains. The directors of the statin trials, they say only there's less than 1% of people who get muscle problems, but that's a lie. The reason they have come up to this figure is that they have only recorded muscle side effects on muscles if a blood test called CK was 10 times higher in the as a highest normal value.
Dr. Ounskou, if I could jump in here for a moment, yes. Before we get too deep into statins, and this is something that we definitely want to come around to, but maybe a bit of a primer is in order here. What is cholesterol exactly?
Cholesterol is one of the most important molecules in the body. We use cholesterol to build cells, to renew all our cells, and we renew cells every day. Cholesterol is necessary for producing nerve fibers. Cholesterol is necessary for the brain. 20% of all cholesterol in the body is situated in the brain. We make hormones by cholesterol. We change the cholesterol molecule a little, and then we can produce sex hormones and stress hormones. And with a little help from the sun, you can produce vitamin D. Cholesterol in the skin is converted to vitamin D if you go into the sun. So cholesterol is life-saving, I would say.
Life-saving?
And lower cholesterol, it's not a good idea.
How much of cholesterol, what percentage of cholesterol is produced naturally by the body, and how much of it is a result of the consumption of animal fat?
We produce 3 to 4 times more cholesterol than we eat, but you cannot influence the production. If you eat much cholesterol, your own production goes down. If you eat little cholesterol, your cells increase the production of cholesterol. So to change your diet just for lowering cholesterol, it's no idea. And this has been shown also in many, many experiments. You can eat as much saturated fat as you want. Nothing happens.
This is extraordinary. This is absolutely extraordinary to hear this. Yeah, people might listening and say, okay, so Dr. Ofa Roundskou is a medical doctor, but is he qualified to talk about cholesterol and blood chemistry and things like that? Could you, just for the record, briefly here, state your qualifications in this area?
Well, as I said, I've studied this intensely for 25 years, and I have published more than 100 papers and letters in the largest international medical journals. So I consider me absolutely competent to talk about that.
And these are peer-reviewed journals that you've published in, journals.
Lancet, New England, British Medical Journal of its Quarterly Journal of Medicine. I have published in most of the largest medical journals.
So then how is it then that your message, your research, is being largely ignored?
Well, that's a good question. Well, I think that there's a problem because researchers in this area, the so-called experts in cholesterol, they are paid by the drug companies. And they are not interested in questioning the cholesterol hypothesis because the drug companies, they are generous. They pay their research and their talks at the Congress and the Congresses, and they get expensive gifts and trips to luxury settings, and many have also equity interest in the companies. So they are absolutely not interested. So when I have written something critical to cholesterol hypothesis, it is almost immediately answered by scorning answers or responses to my papers.
So there is a concerted effort to discredit you? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yes. When you talk with a general practitioner, who do you think he believes in? Does he believe in the professors at the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, or does he believe in what I have written? Of course he believes in what the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute experts have said about that.
Now, when I go and get my my blood checked for cholesterol, the doctor comes back and says, "Okay, your HDLs are a little bit low, and your LDLs are a little higher than we'd like to see. What are HDLs and LDLs in terms of cholesterol?"
Well, HDL and LDL, these are small bubbles in the blood that are transporting the cholesterol.
Let me just get you to hold on, Dr. Alan Skou. My apologies. We'll take a time out, come back, and I'll get you to answer that question. The cholesterol myths with Dr. Ofa Roundskou. Controversial stuff. Back with more of Coast to Coast AM. My name is Richard Serrett. And we'll get back to our conversation with Dr. Ofa Roundskou, who is really turning conventional wisdom on its head with his contention that cholesterol, animal fat, is not the culprit in heart disease. Cholesterol is good for us, he says. The Rolling Stones are bringing us back in with Salt of the Earth, which I believe, if memory serves, comes off their 1968 album, Beggar's Banquet. It's a wonderful, wonderful song. You don't often hear it. And I understand that they are playing this song on their current tour, their current sort of never-ending tour, which right now is down under. They're tearing it up in Australia, despite the fact that most of the boys, are now well into their 70s. All right. Our webmaster, Lex Lonehood, here at Coast to Coast, has posted a couple of interesting stories I wanted to draw your attention to, and you can read these at coasttocoastam.com. And one of them has to do with the, a lot of people are talking about this strange reddish color on Jupiter. The mystery of Jupiter's red spot has been solved. And they're calling it Jupiter's great red spot. And it's, according to new data, analysis from the Cassini mission, the spot's color is a thin dusting on top of white clouds below it and could be thought of as a kind of, get this, UV sunburn. I didn't know planets could be sunburned. Anyway, Jupiter's red spot is part of a massive cyclonic storm that's been swirling for centuries. And there's also a great story about some of the unique denizens, shall we say, in a slum in the district of East Jakarta in Indonesia. The story is entitled The Creepy Masked Monkey Village of Jakarta. And I certainly encourage you to read that story. It's well written and it is fascinating. The Creepy Masked Monkey Village of Jakarta. Good job, Lex Lonehood, for posting these stories at the website coasttocoastam.com. Back with more of my conversation on the cholesterol myths with Dr. Ofa Roundskou here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast. Richard Serrett here and in conversation with a gentleman joining us on the line from Sweden, where it is very early in the morning, Dr. Ofa Roundskou, the author of Ignore the Awkward, How the Cholesterol Myths Are Kept Alive. And before the break, Dr. Roundskou, you were educating us on what cholesterol actually is, and I had asked you about the difference between HDLs and LDLs. These are sort of two components of cholesterol. One, we're told, the LDL is bad, and the other, HDL, is good cholesterol. Is there, in fact, good cholesterol and bad cholesterol?
No. Cholesterol, there's the name HDL and LDL, they are names of small bubbles in the blood that transport the cholesterol. The very cholesterol is the same. There's no bad or good cholesterol. Oh, well, excuse me, there are only good cholesterol. There's no bad cholesterol. What I would like to tell about are all the side effects you risk when you eat statins, because many people don't know about them, and when they go to the doctor and say, my muscles have become weak, I have got diabetes, I've become impotent, and I have bad vision or pains all over the body.
Well, let's get into that, but let's talk about what are statins exactly? What are statins, first of all?
Statins are drugs that inhibit the production of our cholesterol. But it also inhibits many other substances, and some of them are just as important as cholesterol. For instance, a substance named coenzyme Q10. Coenzyme Q10 is necessary for all kinds of cellular functions. So it's simply a catastrophe to start lowering cholesterol. But there is a problem. The side effects, they do not appear immediately. So they will often go weeks or months before they appear. And therefore, most patients and also most doctors, they think this is not a side effect of the drug. It's a sign of increasing age. But I can mention that the side effect impotency. It was an English study. They followed about 100 patients with heart disease who had got statin treatment. And after half a year treatment, 20% of these patients had become more or less impotent.
Wow.
There's nothing. You cannot read about it in the text, in the drug. They tested the drug from Pfizer. There's nothing mentioned about impotency.
But I mean, the use of statins is so widespread in America. You can confirm or deny this, but my understanding is that 1 in 4 Americans ages 45 and older, 1 in 4, are taking a statin. That's roughly 127 million Americans over the age of 45 are taking statins. That's remarkable.
Understand that this is a very profitable drug. And the drug companies, they have can afford anything. And the problem is that, as I mentioned, they pay the researchers, they support the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, for instance. Even the most prestigious universities are supported generously. For instance, Harvard Medical School is sponsored by a dozen of the major drug companies. So it's very, very difficult to get to the truth about medical drugs.
1 in 4. And you were mentioning some of the side effects. You mentioned impotency. Yes. You mentioned muscle stiffness. Are there other side effects?
Oh yes. The most common side effects comes from brain disorders, but they are never mentioned in the trials because they have separated these side effects in 20 or 30 different or different diagnoses, for instance, irritability, depression, memory loss, transient global amnesia, Alzheimer, confusion, disorientation, aphasia, cognitive failure, paranoia, and each of them only are seen only in a few patients. But taken together, the number of side effects on the brain are even higher than the number of muscular side effects.
And by suppressing the production of cholesterol, does that cause additional problems?
The what?
By suppressing the production of cholesterol in the body, do these statins cause additional problems by suppressing the production of cholesterol?
Yes. Cholesterol. I mentioned that most of the cholesterol is situated in the brain. For a brain to function normally, you have to produce cholesterol every second in your life.
This is just incredible. I mean, because again, we've had this drilled into our heads for the last, 30, 40 years. Cholesterol is bad. Animal fats are bad.
Somebody probably will say, but how come that high cholesterol is a risk factor for young people? I will not call it a risk factor. I will call it a risk marker. And the most likely reason is that that stress is able to increase cholesterol very rapidly. In half an hour, you can raise your cholesterol by 30-40%. And I think this is the reason why high cholesterol is a risk factor or a risk marker for young people, because stress is really a risk factor. Stress has many negative effects on the body.
Chronic. So what you're saying, if I'm understanding you correctly, is yes. with young people, cholesterol at least appears ostensibly to be a risk factor in heart disease. But what you're saying is we've got it all backwards. Young people, when they suffer from stress, when they're under stress, yes. the body ameliorates that stress by producing more cholesterol, which is a good yes. thing. So therefore, they are mistakenly assuming that the cholesterol is the culprit when it's actually stress. Again, I have to ask you, was this deliberate obfuscation or did they simply misread the data?
Oh, there are many explanations. I mentioned the money most of all, but you see, if you have realized this scandal and you are working at a Department of Cardiology, it's very dangerous to open your mind and tell all your colleagues about that because they will immediately kick you.
Maybe very difficult, very dangerous for me to be talking about this on coast to coast.
But for young doctors, I mean, many young doctors have realized this, but they dare not mention it for their older colleagues.
Well, if there is a concerted effort to suppress this information, why would peer-reviewed journals be willing then to publish your report, your studies, when, you know, one merely has to leaf through Lancet or any of these peer-reviewed journals, and they are filled with ads from drug companies?
Yes. I will say that it has been more and more difficult to publish critical views about this issue. When I write a review, for instance, about something about this issue, I have to send it to 7 or 8 medical journals before I find one who dare to publish my paper. And the reason is, of course, that almost all medical journals, they are economically dependent on the drug companies, not only for the advertisements, but also because if a drug company, a study financed by a drug company, is published in a medical journal, they ask for about 1 million paper copies of this article to send out to doctors and others. And this is an enormous income for these journals.
So you're saying they publish your study, but begrudgingly?
Excuse me?
You're saying that these journals will publish your study, but they do it somewhat begrudgingly.
No, most of them are not interested today.
But the ones that do.
Most of my publications have been published earlier. Today, it's almost impossible to get a critical view into, for instance, New England Journal of Medicine and Lancet. They do not. British Medical Journal is the only one who has shown some interest in it. And in fact, the dietary advices, I think most experts today, they have realized that the dietary advices are wrong, that there's no, you can eat as much saturated fat as possible, as you like.
If present trends continue,
this has been published in British Medical Journal, the discussions and about the diet. But there's also an increasing understanding that statin treatment in healthy people is not a good idea. That's also been published in British Medical Journal. So there are a few medical journals that are open for criticism.
Okay. Now, if present trends continue, Dr. Roundskou, what percentage of, let's just say, Americans here, what percentage of Americans will be on statin, some sort of a statin, let's say in the next 5-10 years? I mean, eventually, is that the goal, to have everybody, every man, every woman above the age of 45 on a statin?
Yeah. They say statin is harmless and everybody should take statins. Everybody about the age of at least 40. This is a new guideline. It was published last year. Here they say that statin treatment is beneficial for twice as many as those who are taking it today.
Any idea? Do you have a handle on what kind of business. Can you affix a dollar value to the statin drug industry, if I can use that term?
Well, I have a figure from 2002. That year, they sold statins for $29 billion, and it has increased immensely since then.
12 years ago, $29 billion with a B. That's an American dollar.
Yes, but I can tell you another story. The same year, the magazine Fortune, they published a list of the 500 most prosperous companies in the world. And among these 500 were 10 drug companies. The 10 drug companies, they earned more money together than did the 490 other companies in the world.
All right. Let me ask you this. In the short time that remains, if animal fat is not responsible for cardiovascular disease, for heart attacks, what is clogging up our arteries? What is causing heart attacks?
Well, I have my own hypothesis. Atherosclerosis is an infectious disease. What very few researchers know is that the lipoproteins, HDL and LDL, they partake in the immune system. They are very effective in binding all kinds of microorganisms and their toxic products. And they do it very effectively. It's much more effective than our antibody system. It works immediately already in newborns. And my idea, and I have published several papers about that together with a colleague of mine, Kilmer McCauley. Kilmer McCauley, he was the guy who discovered the association between homocysteine and atherosclerosis. And we have published several papers about that, and we think that the main the start of atherosclerosis is a constriction of the small vessels the small capillaries that supplies the artery wall with oxygen and nutrition.
So arterial sclerosis, the hardening of the linings of the arteries and the blockage of said arteries, is a reaction to a viral infection. Is that what you're saying?
Well, not only viral, also bacterial infection, all kinds of infections. If you get infected, the lipoproteins will take up all the bacteria and viruses and the toxic products, and they will make complexes, and they will grow by several reasons, and they will become so large that they are able to occlude the small vessels that supply the artery walls with nutrition and oxygen.
This is pretty.
Many
this is pretty dangerous.
Have shown that this is the it's not only these complexes that are able to construct these capillaries. There are also other factors. For instance, high homocysteine. For instance, stress is able to constrict these small vessels. And many research has shown that inflammation in the artery wall starts at the outside, not at the inside.
All right.
It's support of our theory, I think.
Dr. Rounsku, how do people get a copy of Ignore the Awkward, How the Cholesterol Myths Are Kept Alive?
Oh, this is just contact Amazon.
Just Amazon. Through Amazon.com?
Yes, Amazon, they sell both the e-book and also paper books.
And your website, give us a website where we can learn more.
Well, if people just Google with my name, they will easily find my website. And my name is Ravnskov. And my first name is Uffe, Uffe.
Let me spell that again. Uffe, Uffe.
Yeah.
And then Rounsku is spelled Ravnskov. Well, listen, incendiary stuff. I appreciate your time. Thank you. When we come back, we are going to go for a ride. Dr. Richard excuse me, Doc, I'm getting all choked up just at the prospect of talking with this gentleman. The Mars Project, time travel, advanced propulsion systems, you name it, he's got it. Back with more with Richard Serrett here on Coast to Coast AM.